Imam Javad's Youthful Martyrdom. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and heartfelt condolences to you all on a very doleful day. The last day of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah is the martyrdom anniversary of the 9th infallible era of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He was the Prophet's namesake and was known by his famous epithets of Taqi, or the most pious one, and Jawad, or the most generous, in both material and spiritual manners. He was martyred in the prime of his youth through a fatal dose of poisoning, and rest in peace in the sprawling twin-domed gold-plated shrine of Qazimain near Baghdad, besides his grandfather, Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him. Before we present you an exclusive feature on the life and times of the ninth Imam, here is a salutation to him which the devotees normally recite, especially at his holy shrine. O Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad and his household, and send blessings upon Muhammad ibn Ali, the pure, the pious, the devout, the loyal, the respectful, the immaculate. Peace upon you, O Abu Ja'far Muhammad, son of Ali, the pious, the devout, the guide, and the loyal to Almighty Allah. Today, the last day of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, is a day of grief for Muslims, especially for the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, or the Immaculate Household of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to all mankind. It is the day on which, in the year 228, corresponding to 835 AD, the ninth infallible era of the Seal of Messengers was forced to leave the world, a martyr, through a fatal dose of poisoning, administered yet again by a usurper caliph. As is clear from the wordings of the phrases of the ziyarat, or standard form of salutations to him, that we recited, he was the namesake of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Like the Seal of Messengers, he was a picture of piety, patience, and devotion to God Almighty. Imam Muhammad Taqi al-Jawad, peace upon him, who lived in an age when the Islamic realm was at its peak, both politically and intellectually, straddling vast areas of the three continents of Asia, Africa, and Europe, was not just generous in spending on the needy from whatever he possessed materially, but his generosity included the dispensing of knowledge and bezels of wisdom to all those who came into contact with him. Volumes would be required to pen the virtues of the ninth Imam, whose praises the celestial angels chant. He was a boy of 8 years when the divine trust of Imamat, which on Almighty Allah's express orders the Prophet had entrusted to his dear cousin and son-in-law, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, on the memorable 18th of Dhul-Hajjah, at the historic gathering of over 100,000 Hajj pilgrims at Qadir Khum in Teneyej, came to rest on his tender shoulders following the martyrdom of his father, Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza, peace upon him, in Khorasan, due to a fatal dose of poison given by Ma'mun, the self-styled caliph of the usurper Abbasid regime. Those in doubt are advised to study the Holy Quran, where God Almighty says in Surah Maryam that He granted Prophet Yahya, John the Baptist, the book and the wisdom while still a child, and He empowered the infant Jesus to announce from the cradle His mission as a prophet with the heavenly scripture, as testimony of the chastity of His virgin mother Mary, whom the ever rebellious Israelites tried to slander. Ma'mun, having failed to tarnish the image of Imamat, would remain a mortal enemy of the Ahlul Bayt, but would never resort to open enmity in view of the popularity of the Prophet's progeny amongst the Ummah. He therefore decided to test the God-given knowledge of the son of his victim by pitting the boy Imam against the Mu'tazilite ideologue, Yahya ibn Aksam. Since we are on the threshold of the Hajj pilgrimage, let us focus on the first question of the lively debate and its answer. Ibn Aksam asked the Imam, "What is the atonement for a person who hunts a game while he is dressed in the pilgrimage garb, ihram?" This question appears simple, especially during the Hajj season when pilgrims try to acquaint themselves with the rules before setting off to Mecca. 2. Circumambulate the Holy Kaaba, the symbolic house of the unseen but omnipresent Lord. But the questioner had ulterior motives. He intended to ensnare in the intricacies of legal issues what appeared to him a mere boy. To the astonishment of the scholar and the whole court, however, the lad, with composure and wisdom beyond his tender years, said, "Your question is utterly vague and lacks definition. You should first clarify whether the game killed was outside the sanctified area or inside it, whether the hunter was aware of his sin or did so in ignorance. Did he kill the game purposely or by mistake? Was the hunter a slave or a free man? Was he adult or minor? Did he commit the sin for the first time or had he done so before? Was the hunted game a bird or something else? Was it a small animal or a big one? Is the sinner sorry for the misdeed or does he insist on it? Did he kill it secretly at night or openly during daylight? Was he putting on the pilgrimage garb for Hajj or for the Umrah? Unless you clarify and define these aspects, how can you have a definite answer?" Ibn Aksam stuttered for words and couldn't find any answer to the counter question posed by the boy Imam. His claim to knowledge now shattered before the whole court. He changed his tone and humbly addressed the boy with the words, "O son of the Prophet, you know better." This admission of inability by the learned doctor of law embarrassed Ma'mun and evaporated his dreams of humiliating ninth infallible heir of the Prophet. The boy Imam calmly elaborated by saying, "If he had killed the animal outside the sacred ground and it was winged and large, an atonement of sheep would have been necessary for him. If he had struck it down in the sanctuary, the penalty required of him would be doubled. If he killed a young bird outside the sacred ground, then the atonement of a lamb, which had been weaned off milk, would have been required of him. If he had killed it in the sanctuary, then he would have been required to sacrifice a lamb and the value of the young bird. As for wild animals, if it was a wild ass, he would have been required to sacrifice a cow. If it was an ostrich, the sacrifice of a camel would be necessary. If it had been a deer, then a sheep would have been necessary. If he had killed any of those in the sanctuary, the penalty would have been doubled. Imam Javad, peace upon him, continued to describe the various penalties for the pilgrim in the state of Ihram, to the astonishment of the audience. The crafty Ma'mun was speechless. He now connived to marry his daughter to the Prophet's rightful heir, not out of devotion to him, but in order to keep under surveillance what he thought were political aspirations of Imam Muhammad Taqi, peace upon him, to take over the caliphate. Ma'mun was wrong, since the ninth Imam, whose spiritual powers were far greater than the wealth and political might of any king or caliph, did not need to rise and establish the rule of the Ahlul Bayt on earth, which God Almighty had referred for the end times through the promised Imam Mahdi Al-Qa'im, peace upon him. Here, it would be interesting to present a lively discourse on the advent of Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, and the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice between Imam Muhammad Taqi, peace upon him, and his distant cousin, Abdul Azim al-Hassani, peace upon him, whose shrine in Ray near Tehran is a site of pilgrimage. Abdul Azim al-Hassani narrates, "Once I went to my master Muhammad bin Ali bin Musa al-Jawad, intending to ask him about Mahdi al-Qa'im, whether he was al-Mahdi himself or another one. Before I uttered a word, he said, 'O Abul Qasim, al-Qa'im of us is al-Mahdi, who must be awaited in his occultation and must be obeyed in his appearance. He is the third of my progeny. By Allah, who has sent Muhammad with prophethood and singled us out with imamat, if there will be only one day left for the world, Allah will prolong that day until Al-Qa'im will appear to fill the earth with fairness and justice as it has been filled with injustice and oppression. Allah will prepare the affairs for him as he had prepared the affairs to Moses, where he went to bring a fire and came back to be the prophet of his nation. The best deed of our Shia is the awaiting for the deliverance."